We continue our study in the letter of Paul to the Philippians. I remind you that this is a letter that really displays as much or more perhaps any other letter we see in the New Testament, the heart unity that Paul had with these believers and how they were really working together to spread the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the world. They had partnered together. They had gospel bonds. They were bound together by the gospel. And so the key verse in Philippians 1:27 calls for the believers there to strive side by side for the faith of the gospel with one heart, one mind. And so it's not just an individual service to God that we render. We do come to Christ individually. We do need to walk with God individually, but we are working together. We are striving together. We're connected as we work to advance the gospel in the world that we live in. And the problem with that is that we're human, and we have difficulties. We have difficulties getting along with God, who's perfect, and we certainly have difficulties getting along with one another because we know how many flaws are there. So working through that can be hard. And we, as we reach the chapter 4, as we have it in our Bibles laid out for us, Paul admonishes a couple ladies in the congregation that it's time for them to start getting along, that the disruption in their relationship is actually causing a problem in the church, and they are faithful believers. They've labored side by side with Paul and others for the sake of the gospel, and for the sake of the gospel, they need to work out their differences and work together. And then he immediately begins talking about what's going on inside your heart and your mind. And we talked last week about heart healing, because a lot of times the reason we can't get along with somebody else, particularly another believer, is not what's going on the outside, it's what's going on the inside. And he talks about rejoicing in the Lord. He talks about that gentle reasonableness that we need to exercise toward everyone because the Lord is near. And he talks about just this God-centeredness that keeps us focused so that we're not worrying about anything, but we're taking everything to God in prayer. This theocentric, God-centered view of life that we enjoy because of the gospel, because we've been reconciled to God, is what helps heal our own heart, and then from that, heal our relationships. And now, this morning, we're actually going to continue that thought. This heart healing continues, working on what's going on inside of us so that our relationships with one another, our life before the world, is consistent with the gospel. We come to Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So you look at those words, what you see basically are two commands and a promise. Two commands and a promise. You see, think on these things and practice these things. I was struck as I was reading this. I remember the think on these things. You know, we always go here, particularly when we're talking about your choices of entertainment. You know, make sure it's meeting this test. This is about way more than that. But Paul doesn't just say think on these things. He says practice these things. So it's not just our thought life, but it's our activity. And then this beautiful promise, the God of peace will be with you. Really simple and profound, because as you think about it, it kind of captures what the Christian life, the essence of the Christian life, is all about. If you will keep your focus here, you'll be okay. So that's what we want to work on this morning, and hopefully work on it in a way that you can package it up in your own heart and mind, perhaps in your notes, and this week, starting even this afternoon, see to it that you're living this way. Number one, focus your thoughts. Focus your thoughts. Number two, focus your actions. So don't let your thoughts just drift and don't let your actions just drift, but focus them. And then, because of that, enjoy God's presence. And I threw in the name that is such an encouraging reminder to me about who Jesus really is. He is God with us. With us, God. And if you have God with you, you're going to make it. And we want to remember that as we walk through life, we're not alone. Enjoy God's presence. God is with us, Emmanuel. Let's ask God to help us plant these truths deep in us today. Father, now, such powerful, practical words in such a brief span of your word. And God, I pray you'd help us today to take these words from you into our hearts so that we live them out in our lives. God, of all the people on the planet, we are the most privileged, everyone who actually knows you because of Jesus. So privileged. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the heartaches, whatever the circumstances of any kind that cause us joy or sadness, God, we have you because of Jesus. So Lord, help us live out that good news. Help us shine it out to a world that is estranged from you, without hope and without God. And Lord, may we introduce them through the Lord Jesus to the God who created them and who offers them redemption. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to focus. And that's what I've entitled the message, focus, period. So, command. Focus, first off, your thoughts. And I'll read it once again. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about it. So where do we get logic from? It means to consider or reckon, take into account. So you're actually focusing on these truths that are here. And you recall that in Romans 12, when Paul talks about God rescuing us because of his compassions on us and giving ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, lifelong service to God, he talks about being transformed rather than conforming to the world, being transformed, how? By the renewal of your mind. What's going on in your head, in your thinking, is critical to how God is changing you. And this is how you approve by testing what God's will is for you every day, what the good and perfect will of God is for you. And then it goes on to talk about relationships within the church and relationships outside of the church. It goes on to talk about the very thing that Philippians really centers on is how are you getting along with other people? And it starts with this renewing of your mind. There's only so much time in any day. And what you choose to think about in those minutes and hours in your life is how you're living life internally. There's so much to take in. Now, when Paul says think about these things, he's not denying that the opposite of these things exists. You know, I think in the modern era, it's almost like we feel like to have plenty of integrity, we need to really talk about the really bad stuff. Focus on the sewage. You know, let's be real. And I understand that. We don't want to deny when somebody's going through deep waters and things are really hard. We don't want to pretend like they don't exist. But this is an appeal for you to choose your focus in order to improve your life. It's not denying these things exist. It's kind of like this. Look, you eat good food, not because you're denying that rotten food exists. You're choosing to take in what's good for you, okay? So you know rotten stuff exists, but you eat the good stuff. And in terms of your heart health and your mind health, it is important that you focus. So what makes this so difficult for us? I think one reason it's difficult is we are exposed to so much that does not fit the description here. especially in our day of just overwhelming media and information flow. We're bombarded with what is false and dishonorable and unjust and impure and unattractive and disreputable and corrupt and shameful every day. And it takes intentional discipline to shut out all that noise. The instant nature of our culture makes it especially difficult for us to focus our thinking, because it takes time to do that. And it means saying no to a nearly infinite number of voices and paths of thinking available to us. So if I'm checking Twitter and Instagram and Facebook every 5 minutes, if I live with the constant feed of talk radio, or if I'm devoting all my free time to the never-ending flow of movies and music and blogs and sports, then when do I ever have time to think and to meditate? Negative news sells. So, you know, it used to be like, oh, well, I don't watch TV. I only watch the news. Well, pity on you. Because negative news sells, but feeding on it all the time will twist your soul. You know, usually if you see a very fretful Christian, you know that they've been watching the news too much lately, right? Or reading it someplace. Psalm 1 tells us that the blessed or happy man meditates on the law of God day and night. And that means that he can't be focused on everything else all the time. He said, well, you know, that was written, you know, 1000 BC or so, and, you know, life was so much easier then. Look, David wrote it. Have you ever read David's life? Okay? I guarantee you he was plenty busy, and his life was probably more stressful than yours or mine, given the role that he had as king and warrior. So how are we going to work on this? Well, you're familiar with voice to text. If you're not, those of you that are my age, a little bit younger and older, you know, think about voice to text. It could save you some time and also introduce some humor into your life. But you speak into the microphone on your phone or iPad and you get a transcription of your words. Okay, what if you had thought to text? What if your stream of thinking were put down in black and white? What would the content be like? That will probably tell you more about who you really are than even what you say out loud, because that tends to be filtered. The believer understands that God sees his or her heart, and that life before God is about what you are on the inside, not just on the outside. We believe in the true and living God who sees us as we really are. So we don't believe in a religion where you just pretend to be something that you're not. You put on your mask, you put on your Sunday clothes, you put on your Sunday voice, and you do your Sunday things, but who you really are is buried underneath of all that. We worship a God that we understand sees us as we really are. And even what we do on the outside, we want it to be as close to who we actually are as possible. That's why a set of outward forms and ceremonies don't really mean that much. In fact, God tells us they dishonor him and our hearts are far from him. That's why he says in Ephesians that we want to be speaking the truth in love. We want to be truthing in love. Our life transparent and honest, full of integrity, sincere and loving. Those two together. Say, well, how can I be both sincere and loving? Only by the power of the Spirit, right? In other words, we're not just pretending to like each other. We're not just trying to butter people up. We actually love them. And what we express is meant to express that. So what are you doing to shape who you really are? To shape your thought life? What times are you setting aside for communion with God and immersion in his words? And I mean, some time ago, and I think I've told you this before, one of the staff pastors just gave me some really helpful advice. He said, look, you can't just have a to-do list. You need to take what's on your to-do list and put it on your calendar. I mean, my to-do list would take me, you know, infinite amount of time. In fact, there's a mug that I remember, I shouldn't do this off the cuff because I'm going to forget. But something idea, I've got, every day I live, I've got more to do. At this rate, I'll never die, something like that. You know, the list keeps lengthening. So put it on your calendar. Don't just wish that you had time with God. Make time with God. Make time to be in his word. Make time to talk with him. When do you take time to pray? When? On your calendar. On your day timer. When you decide when you're going to do what. Are you making time to meditate on truth and on what is good? What is your method of filling your mind with God's word so you can be chewing on it day and night? How else could somebody like David meditate on it day and night? He's a busy man if he didn't have it in his heart. Let me go to the other side. Where does your mind wander? And it will wander, right? It does wander. If you're not intentional about where you're focusing, it will wander all kinds of places. And then where does it camp? What do you muse on? Because that reveals who you are, and that shapes who you will be. If you want to change who you are, start focusing your thoughts on what is good. It'll change you. Focus. Focus on what is true. Remember, Jesus said, sanctify them, set them apart through your truth. Your word is truth. He's talking about them surviving in a world that hates them and where the enemy is out to get them. He says, don't take them out of the world. They've got a mission. Don't take them out of the world, but keep them safe in the world. This is the way you do it. Whatever's honorable, it's worthy of respect, it's noble, it's a quality of elders and deacons. They're those that command respect by their lives. Whatever is just, what conforms to God's definitions of right and wrong, what's ethical, what shows justice? It's the opposite of being judgmental and slanderous and dishonest in your business, showing partiality, thinking bad thoughts about people. You know, so often the things we think about people that are mean-spirited, we don't even know if it's true. We're jumping to conclusions. I bet I know why they did that. You don't know. For one thing, often we haven't even talked to the person to know, right? So why would you dwell on that? Why would you freak out on this person hates me? It's not just to assign them that. Whatever's pure. And we certainly live in a time when we are barraged with attacks on our purity. How are you keeping the sewage out of your brain? And how do you think? How do you think toward your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are they merely objects of desire? Or are they brothers and sisters that you love, that you're striving side by side with, that Christ has poured out his life blood for? Do you think on what's commendable? And then he wraps it up with what's excellent, what's virtuous, what shows moral excellence, and what is praiseworthy, what's admirable instead of what is shameful. You look at that and, you know, if I could take my time focused on these things, the health of my thinking would be vastly improved. Again, it's not a denial that the other things are there. It's saying, look, I want to spend time actually soaking in these kinds of thoughts. And the reality is that our world is full of these kinds of excellent and praiseworthy things. Even among those that don't know Jesus yet, because human beings are made in the image of God and they in part reflect their creator. There's a common grace that we see even in the lives of those that are still unsaved. And so it's not saying, well, I can only listen to hymns. It's saying, I'm going to decide what I'm going to feed on when it comes to my thoughts. And, you know, it's not always just, we often think of, you know, when we were teenagers, you guys, if you went to summer camps, I mean, it's like 9 times out of 10 or maybe 99 out of 100, and you responded to the invitation at the camp. What did you tell your counselor you were struggling with? I'm struggling with my thought life. Well, what thought life are we talking about? We're talking about keeping it pure, right? And not lusting. Well, our thought life is, you know, keeping our thought life healthy is way more than just that. There's all kinds of things that can actually get us out of sorts that hurt us in our relationship to God and to others. And there are things that are hard about life that can really drown us in, you know, not something that's necessarily untrue, but it's just not healthy for me to dwell on completely, or at least not outside of a perspective that's connected to God. After Matthew died, which is, I guess, been about 14 months, almost 14 months now, just to share, I want to share with you kind of how I work through these things. I struggled to bring my own feelings in line with what I knew in the core of my being was true. Like, it's not like I'm doubting whether God is real and the gospel is true, but my feelings were like out of control in other directions. And so I wanted somehow to begin to connect the truth, to bring my feelings in line with the truth I believed. And one of the things that helped me was to begin collecting songs of truth that connected with my emotion. Uncle Fred just talked about this in the last hour, of connecting truth with emotion. And it's really important because for us to actually have the will to do anything, we've got to have more than just a rational reason. We need an emotional reason too. Our wills are moved by emotion, not just truth, okay? So I began collecting these songs, and in time, they actually did the work. It was a very intentional choice for me to help bring my thoughts and feelings together centered on God's truth. And I've actually shared some of those songs along the way, particularly as we did the Heaven series. The journey continues. It's up and down, and you never know when you're going to be hit. I don't know, somehow with the warmer weather, I don't know if it's because Matthew and I did a lot of stuff outside. It's hit me, you know, again, pretty hard. And so just recently, came across an album called Far Country by Andrew Peterson. One of the songs actually sounds very much like a region where we just were with the Fathenross, up in the North Country. The song's about traveling to Alaska. So that resonated, but I found some others. So this is not like the number one song of my life. I'm just saying this is just in the last couple weeks how God has used another believer who's put words to music to help me focus on truth as I go through my journey, okay? And you may not be in the grieving journey, so, you know, I'm not saying this will be your favorite song or anything. It just helped me. So this one's called Far Country. Actually, the album title is that, and then it reads like this. Father Abraham, do you remember when you were called to a land and didn't know the way? Because we are wandering in a foreign land. We are children of the promise of the faith. And I long to find it. Can you feel it too? That the sun that's shining is a shadow of the truth. This is a far country, not my home. In the dark of the night, I can feel the shadows all around me, cold shadows in the corners of my heart. But the heart of the fight is not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And the spirit's got me shaking in the dark. And I long to go there, and I can feel the truth, and I can hear the promise. This is a far country, not my home. I can see it in the strip malls and the phone calls, the flaming swords of Eden, in the fast cash and the news flash and the horn blast of war, in the sin-fraught cities of the dying and the dead, like steel-wrought graveyards where the wicked never rest, to the high and lonely mountain in the groaning wilderness. We ache for what is lost, and we wait for the holy God of Father Abraham. I was made to go there, out of this far country, to my home. To my home. Okay, those kinds of words help me focus on truth and help my emotions focus on truth as well. And it lets me cry and rejoice at the same time. It keeps me, I'm not denying the realities of what it's like to be in this far country, But I'm also reminding myself, part of what makes the far country hard is this is not my home. My home is the heavenly city because of God, the God who spoke to Abraham and told him to go. You know, life is a journey, right? And a lot of times you're going places you did never expect to be. There are other ways that I and others have found really helpful. Reading through the Psalms. This is what I've done. I'm kind of giving autobiographically what I've done the last year or so, reading through the Psalms, highlighting every verse that expressed where I was and turning my thoughts Godward. And what's great about the Psalms is they cover really the gamut of human emotion and experience. And so you're able to connect truth, prayer life, your relationship with God, and the way life actually is. Avoiding music and entertainment and reading that draws my thinking and heart away from God with untrue, corrupt, rebellious thinking and ideas. Avoid it like the plague. And paying attention to what triggers thinking that I know is not pleasing to God or helpful to me. You know, being on the alert for that. When I start sensing, I'm not responding the right way here. This is turning my heart. It may not even be something objectionable, but if it's turning my heart away from God, then I don't need it. I'm going to focus somewhere else. And then, and this is consistent with what we've seen emphasized in Philippians, spending time with people that turn my thoughts Godward and truthward, and that encourage me by their words and their example to keep following God and to endure and to grow no matter what. These are ways that we keep our thoughts in line. Just a sampling of how you can do this. And that spending time with people is critical. That leads us really to the next point, and that is focus your actions. Look at what Paul writes. He says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things." What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. So Paul's not recommending thought for thought's sake, some sedentary, theoretical, philosophical ivory tower far away from active living. Thinking drives right action, and if I'm thinking right, I'm not thinking right if my actions don't line up true. In fact, one of the words for one that belongs to God, particularly in the Old Testament, is the word, he's an upright person. He lines up his life with the truth of God. So what does Paul appeal to shape the actions of the believers in Philippi? What will help them focus their activity? What will help you focus yours? What will help me focus mine? He says, well, what you've learned, what you've been discipled in. And a disciple is not just a student. A disciple learns from the master so he can teach others and watches the master so he can imitate his life. Okay? Think of Jesus, his disciples walking alongside of him. So it's more like mentoring. In fact, mentoring is probably about the closest word we have to what discipling someone looks like. What you have learned, how you've been mentored, and what you've received, what you took in, you didn't reject it, what you've heard in the preaching and teaching and everyday talk, and what you've seen lived out in practical ways. So they're remembering all of this, and they saw it firsthand with Paul. He says, keep practicing these things. In other words, imitate Paul, because Paul is imitating Jesus. Paul's words underscore how critical it is for us to be connected with individuals who really are following Jesus. And it reminds us once again that making disciples means spending time with people so they can copy how you're living. You need to spend time with people so you can learn from them, and they need to spend time with you so they can learn from you. So you've got to take time to think, and you need time with people. People from whom you can learn, people you can imitate, people who can learn from you, people who can imitate you. This is healthy body life among members of the church. It's not just socializing. It's walking alongside each other on life's roads and all its ups and downs. It's living together. It's weeping together. It's laughing together. It's striving together. It's praying together. It's serving together. It's praising together. It's loving together. It's not just on Sundays together. It's living life. together, using your days for activities like this. Think about what the church family at Philippi had seen when they observed how Paul lived life. I mean, what would that be like to actually be watching Paul and interacting with Paul and the way he lives life? And they've kind of kept that connection, even though he's miles away, as they wanted news of what's going on with him and they're interacting. In fact, this letter is part of that togetherness. Think what it was like for the disciples when they walked alongside of Jesus 3.5 years. How did Paul treat people? How did Jesus interact with them? What did Paul talk about? What did Jesus say? What made Paul tick? What did Jesus live for? Neither of them wasted their lives sitting in some ancient version of an easy chair, sipping first century soft drinks and glutting themselves on hours of entertainment. I guarantee you that's not what they were doing. What a way to waste your life. You need to live your life. They were busy doing the Father's business. Okay, practice living that way. It's what life is for. Fact is, you are filling the hours of your days with some kind of activity, even if the activity is inactivity. How you use your time is how you're spending your life. So spend it well. What is on your to-do list? And what's on your calendar? Your life is short, and time is precious. And the scriptures say, redeem it, buy it back, because the days are evil. You are children of the day. You are people of the Spirit. You are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Practice these things. Live your life. Live your life in the company of those who love Jesus. Live your life doing what they do. And you've got all kinds of examples in the Word of God and in your own church family of what that looks like. So do it together. And then 3, this wonderful promise, enjoy God's presence, Emmanuel. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, for the sake of parallelism, I've kind of violated really the direction of Paul's statement, and I apologize for that. That's where maybe form is overriding substance. This is not about something we're doing for ourselves. This is about what God is doing for us. Do you see how the direction is different? The God of peace will be with you. Think these things, practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. Now, earlier he told us to worry about nothing and to pray about everything, and the peace of God would garrison our hearts. This is even better. It's not just the peace of God will guard you. It's the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. People who think these things and practice these things, people who live this way inside and out, get God. And he is the God of shalom, of peace. He's the God that makes all things right. They can say with David, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. His goodness and steadfast love are chasing me down all my days. My home, his home will be my home forever. No wonder I'm homesick here. But while I walk this pilgrim pathway, God himself is with me all the days, even to the consummation of the age. It was Isaiah that introduced us to the very special name for the coming Messiah, and Matthew reminds us of that name when he talks about the birth of Jesus. He shall be called Emmanuel, with us, God! Exclamation point. It's an amazing thing, an astonishing thing. It's an almost too good to be true kind of thing. It is the answer to the longing of the human heart ever since we were expelled from the Garden of Eden. It's what makes heaven so intensely desirable. God with us. And we will live with God face to face, heaven and earth will be united again forever. But even while we're traveling home, the God of that perfect peace is with us.
Amen.
This is why Jesus suffered and died and rose again, to reconcile rebel sinners like us to a holy God, to make us children of the light, to make us his family. Okay, so Paul is saying this breathtaking thing. You think this way, you live this way, and you get to enjoy the presence of God with you all the way home. You get to enjoy the profound peace that comes to the heart of people who are actually walking with God. So let me ask you, who wouldn't want such a life? If you think about it, this is what we were created as human beings to enjoy. It's what we were redeemed to recover. The God of peace with me. And if that's the way it is, then I can handle everything life in this sin-cursed world can throw at me. Do you know this kind of rest? Is the God of peace with you? And you know that he's with you. You know, Jesus alone can get you there. No man comes to the Father except through him. He's the way, the truth, the life. But look, if you belong to Jesus, if you put your faith in him, if you count his work on the cross and his breaking of the bars of death at the tomb as for real and having any effect on you, then certainly this is your life. This life is open to you. But it's important that you think certain things. It's important that you practice a certain way of life so that you're getting the full benefit of actually belonging to God through Jesus. The God of peace will be with you. So stop drowning your mind in the darkness and think in tune with the light. Stop wasting your life on activities that are worthless or destructive. Imitate Jesus and imitate people you know are following him, and then enjoy walking with God as he shepherds you in the right path all the way home. This is the life. And it can be yours. And it is yours in Jesus, the one whose name is Emmanuel. Let's pray. God, this is the Word of God. Who but God could capture so much in so few words that are so life-changing. Help us, Lord. We are weak. We're prone to wander. Even if our heart is to serve you, we are pulled and pushed and attacked on every side. Our emotions are up and down. Our thoughts come and go. Our sense of your presence is here now and gone the next hour. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And so, Lord, we look at a passage like this and we realize that this really is about taking advantage of the relationship we have with you because of Jesus. And God, I pray you'd help us take advantage of it to the hilt. Help us not fritter our lives away on what is temporal and what is false. Lord, help us walk with you. Just like we sang earlier, this is my devotion. All my life to love you. All my days to walk with you. God, help us live this way and help us encourage one another to live this way. We're in this together. Lord, help our lives to be lives that can be imitated because we're following hard after you. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here and pray God, for you to encourage them this week in what they think and what they practice and the peace of God that they feel. And Lord, I also pray for those with us this morning that are outside of Jesus or they're not sure they're there. And I pray you would draw them sweetly to yourself and you would grant to them the repentance and faith they need to trust completely in Jesus to save them and to reconcile them to God, to introduce them to what they lost when Adam and Eve fell in Eden and what they will one day enjoy in the heavenly city. God, do that mighty work by your Spirit and to the glory of your Son, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.